All right, let me have you turn to your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 5. I've got a little something for you before we take our prayer request. As you know, Wednesday night is always an abbreviated sermon in that we go about, 15, 20 minutes. This is very important. I think we can get to the heart of this message. It has 5 points, but we can get to the heart of the message and not really skip over some important aspects of it. Romans chapter 5. We're going to talk about peace tonight. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Keep your Bible open because we're going to move to different texts as we discuss each point. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, peace is obviously, to me now, and I believe it's so with people that I've visited, I think it's probably so for you. You know, peace is one of the most desirable characteristics of your relationship with God. Honestly, when the disciples were in the boat and the sea was raging and they thought they were going to die, and Jesus got up and said, "Peace be still," they were still in the boat. It still was full of water. They were still soaking wet. They were still trembling from the rush of adrenaline that caused them to do everything they possibly could to keep from sinking. But as soon as that peace came and that settled everything, it's like, you know what? It doesn't make any difference that we're still in this circumstance. It's peace now. You know, when people that you know live in this world and their lives are chaotic, getting saved doesn't change the chaos, but it changes the inside of the man. It changes the inside of the woman. And a lot of times the chaos, they've started in chaos, they're living in chaos, and a lot of times it may take a while for the chaos to settle, and in some cases it may not settle. But they're settled because they've got peace. And if you've ever been with somebody when God saved them, there is either in their testimony, their countenance, their demeanor, there is evidence that peace is now here. And I'm thinking of a neighbor of mine that got saved in the hospital. I witnessed to him for years and years. And the problem is he just didn't realize how much difference there was between being religious and being saved. And when he realized on death's door, nearly, that he had been standing not on the promises of God, like we sang, but on the testimony of a religion, it wasn't strong enough to hold him. And when he got saved, when he cried out, when God saved him, I want to say when God saved him that day, there was so much peace, it was just evident in his countenance, his demeanor. I talked to a funeral director one time. We did many funerals together when I was in Beeville, and we had a long drive to an interment one day. And I asked him, I said, "Can you tell when you go to recover a body whether they were saved or lost?" And he, you know, before the advent of comfort care, where everybody dies on some sort, you know, if they've got a lingering illness that's going to take their lives and they get comfort care, you can hardly tell much about them because they're receiving a lot of drugs. But before all that, he said, 90% of the time, I could tell you what the preacher was going to say by what I saw when I came to recover the body. And he said, on those that are saved, truly saved, there many times was a smile, there was a countenance, there was no stress. And on those that weren't, there was sometimes the most ghastly expression on their face you can imagine. So that's peace with God. And you have that because you're saved. And if you don't experience that at a point in your life, you want to go back and remember what it was like the day God saved you. Because that's a peace came in that's not going away. All right, and then Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We've turned here so much we've worn our Bibles out to this page. Many of you can quote this: "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Listen, there's peace through salvation. If you're trying to keep up with the outline, everything's going to start with an S. There's peace through salvation. There's peace through supplication. Through supplication. In other words, there are times when, and we all experience these. I don't care if you're in the ministry, not in the ministry, retired, working two jobs, raising four kids, eight kids, whatever you got going on. Husband traveling all the time, you're stuck at home with the kids, homeschooling, yes, yes, paying the bills, yes. He's traveling all over the world. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep directing my comments over there. It doesn't make any difference. Really. You are going to face times where your peace is going to get unsettled. And God gave us a remedy. He said the thing to do when you find that you're overwhelmed, when you find that you are stressed by whatever, negative thinking, by problems, you go to God in prayer. That's what he said. With thanksgiving. And every time you do, there at some point, you receive the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And it keeps your hearts and your minds. You know, one of the things that directed me to this message today was that very thing going on in my own life. There was one fire after another that I've had to put out in the last several, I think, months now. As soon as one gets put out, boom, there's another or two. You know, after a while, it takes its toll on you and it wears you down and it affects your relationship with the Lord. And I was wanting no more fires. That's what I was wanting. But instead, what I did is followed this. And at a point in praying today, the peace just took over and it was like, it doesn't make any difference if the fire is a bonfire. It's life. What's important is the peace that keeps your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters, we need that. We need that. All right, then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The very God of peace. I love that. Don't you know that he's the God of peace? The devil's not the God of peace. He's the God of this world, and you can see what kind of damage he's got going on. He's a thief. He came to steal. He came to destroy. He's a liar. He's chaos, not Jesus. He's the God of peace. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless. I love, you know, the nice thing about it is to go through a day where you don't have anything to blame yourself about. Because the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God has been effectual in your life. And so this is, listen, peace through salvation, that's first. Peace through supplication, that's second. And then this, peace through sanctification. Through sanctification. Peace through sanctification. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Help me with the third one. Peace. Peace. So what happens in your life after you get saved, you get that great sense of peace. People have described it like, I feel a great burden has been lifted. Some like a light has just come on in a dark room. Some tears of joy after they get saved. God saves them. But here, you got to keep on living after the day of your salvation. And as you keep on living after the day of your salvation, you find out that there are things in your life that have to change. And there are things that you used to do that you can't do anymore. And there are things that you didn't used to do that you want to start doing now. And that is a process of sanctification going on in your life as you're changing. It's like we read the letter there from the fellow that got saved down in Brazil, and he was a cocaine addict, and he's still struggling, but he's clean. You got to know when that guy lays his head down on his pillow, every day that he is separated from that own life is one more day of enjoying revenge against the disobedience. It's peaceful. It's peaceful. It's just a wonderful thing. And so when you go through your life and you're living the eternal life that God has given you, and you are seeing the changes in your spouse and your children, or your parents are seeing the changes in your coworkers, seeing the changes, and you are getting separated from this world, and your old life is waning and your new life is waxing greater and greater. Man, oh man, oh man, there's peace in that. You know, I like what one of my friends said. We did discipleship this afternoon, and one of my friends has said, he said, "I'm done with that. I still fight it, but I'm done." Isn't it nice when you're done with that and then you don't even have to fight it anymore because God has just killed out that old part? There's peace in that. There's a lot of peace in that. So peace through salvation, peace through supplication, peace through sanctification. Here's another one, Philippians 4:9. Like, well, preacher, we were already in 4. Why don't you get us out of there and now we got to go back? It's Bible drill. Just want to make sure you can find your books. Philippians 4:9. Paul says to the Philippians, those things which you have both learned, so he taught them some things, and received, so, you know, you can learn something and not receive it. There are a lot. A doctor says, take this prescription, you go home and put it all in the trash can. You learned it, but you didn't receive it. The preacher says, do this, and things will change in your life. You get home and you don't do this, then things aren't going to change. So the things you've learned, the things you've received and heard, not only that, and seen in me. So Paul would say, I live by the things that I preach. And seen in me, one little word, two letters, do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. All right. So this is peace through submission. Peace through submission. Peace through salvation, that great lifting of the burden of sin, supplication. You're in the middle of a storm. You start praying. The storm doesn't change, but you do. Through sanctification, you're no longer fighting those old sins. You're changing. And then peace through submission. You know what? You know peace when you finally submit to the Lord's will in your life. Both the stated will written in the Scripture, and then that will which is probably more characterized as the plan of God for your life. I can remember when I went through the period of time, the intense period of time was about a year, where God had called me to preach or was preparing me to go into the ministry, and I was still in the banking business. Okay? And there was a war on, and part of that war, since Ann is in Houston with her mother and probably won't listen to this recording, part of that war was at home. She didn't want this. I mean, she's happy with it now, but you can just imagine being in the banking business, going into the ministry. I don't want that. And so there was a problem there. And then, and I was explaining to Wyatt earlier today, when you're being called to like this to preach, or maybe a change in something else that you're doing, your desire for what you are doing right then will wane. And your interest in the things of the Lord will increase. And during that period of time, it's troublesome. And I can remember distinctly telling a friend of mine, we'd gone off to go fishing. We were going to go to Aransas Pass from Beeville. We're driving over there, and I'm just moaning about how things are going. I said, it just seems like everything I'm doing in the banking business is going south. And da 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 da, and he's over there laughing. I'm like, what are you laughing about? I'm pouring out my heart to you. And over there, you're just thinking, you're acting like this doesn't matter. He said, no, it matters. I said, the reason I'm laughing is you don't see it. I said, see what? you know, see it. God's called you to preach. And so it's obvious that you wouldn't like what you're doing anymore. Okay. And he said, and honestly, God's just putting such a bad taste in your mouth for banking. When things get hard in the ministry, you won't try to go back to banking to get out of preaching. Okay. Man, when we finally, I can remember the day I announced to the board, I am going to the ministry full time. I'm resigning and so-and-so is going to take the position. I'm telling you, there was just the war, you know, that part of the war was over. There were other wars coming that I didn't know about, but that one was over. I was surrendered to the ministry. And the neat thing about it is, even though there have been ups and downs, right? Anybody that's ever done the ministry, ups and downs, okay? No change of course. The peace of God has been there the entire time. Absolutely. 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 And when you know that, and you're standing on that promise of God, and you go to that place of peace with the Lord, even in the midst of those very hard things, that peace is there because you know you're doing what God wants you to do, even when other people don't behave. And sometimes you bring some of that stuff on your head. You do it. So what Paul said is this: you learned those things from me and received them and heard them and you've seen them in me. Do those things and the God of peace shall be with you. What he's saying is, one of the benefits of you being in a local church and being here tonight and hearing preaching is you're learning from me that in your life, when things are changing according to the will of God, you are going to be comforted and strengthened by the peace that God gives you in the change. I've experienced it, and you will too, as you go through it. So you do the same thing, and God, the God of peace, will be with you. And then one more. It's in two places, but let's just go to Ephesians 4:3. For time's sake, we'll wrap this up here. So there's peace through salvation, and all of us here that are saved know that. And through supplication, we've experienced it. You've been reminded tonight, that's the thing I should have been doing, is praying more and worrying less. Amen? I should have been praying more and worrying less. Through sanctification, God's been dealing with me about that sin in my life. What I'm hearing tonight is, if I'll just go ahead and give it over to Him and trust Him, there's going to be peace. Yes, there will be. And you don't have to fight God's will. There's peace when you submit. Okay? And then finally, this one, Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, listen, in the bond of peace. There is peace through, you're looking for another S, spiritual unity. Right? There's peace through spiritual unity. We are people. We're people. And people are different. Right? Some are tall, some are short, some are beautiful, some are not beautiful. You know, some are bold, some are timid, and all the kind of things. And so you get a whole bunch of people together in one room and, right? Right? Sometimes it's like trying to put the piece of the jigsaw puzzle in what looks like the right spot, even though it's not. And the Lord said, you want to have peace? Then endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. And when you and I have spiritual unity in our home, in our relationship with each other, it's peace. It is peace. It really, I'm telling you, that is... And that's such a blessing, because we know that whatever God wants to put together, the devil wants to bust apart. And we don't want to be contributors to the problem. So if we just give it up and say, you know what? I love you. So love me, all right? No. Right? You just say, put it aside. Why the sparks? We don't need that. Strife, contention. That's somebody else's arena. We have a Holy Spirit, and He wants us. And when we are like-minded, and when we obey the commandment of Jesus Christ, the only one He gave us, the new commandment, that we love one another as He loved us. Brother, there's peace in that. It's good. And you know what? It's unique to the local church. It is. It is. Nothing else like it, not on earth. And of course, to the body of Christ. But the body of Christ is so divided over differences in doctrine these days. It's more like people want to find out how they can stake out a little piece of dirt nobody else has been on. Forget that nonsense. Find common ground with your brothers and sisters and stand on that, man. There is strength and peace in that. Amen. So that's how we're going to have peace. That's how we get to enjoy. So if the Lord's ministered to you in a particular area of your life, you're like, aha, that's where the problem was. Then go with what you've heard tonight and get that peace. You will really enjoy tomorrow and the night's sleep you get tonight a lot better. Father, we're thankful. We love you and we love your words. They're so clear and so practical. Help us to apply these things we've learned tonight, to receive them and do them for Jesus' sake. Amen.